This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to turn stress into rest. Stress is a fact of life. I don't care how good a Christian you are, how much you love the Lord, how obedient you are to the Word of God, you will not escape stress in your life. Well, we want to find out today how to withstand the stresses of life. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That word count is the Greek word hegeomai. What it means is to deem, to consider, to account, to esteem, to judge, to suppose, to think. That word has to do with how I think about the situation that I'm in. In other words, when James says, count it all joy, what he's telling me to do is to make up my mind about how I'm going to think about the situation that I'm in. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Look at the power we have over the way we think. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Look at it. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing what? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I can control my thoughts. I can control the way I think. If I subject my thoughts to the obedience of Christ, catch it. Here's the bottom line. You know how you change the way you feel about your circumstances? You change the way you feel by changing the way you think. Go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to turn your stress into rest, your mind needs to be renewed about how to think about the circumstances that you're going through. I must allow my thoughts and my perceptions, my very outlook on life, to be shaped not by the circumstance that I'm experiencing, not by my natural feelings about my circumstances, but by the Word of God. When I'm in a stressful situation, my feelings urge me to keep on thinking about how bad the situation is. I keep going around in that rut of worrying about what's happening. How am I going to get through it? How am I going to get over it? What if they do this? What if this happens? Anybody been there? Amen. Amen. See, that's what my natural feelings will have me doing. But if I am going to have victory over stress, be in a stress-filled situation, but not be stressed out, it'll be because my mind has been renewed and I'm not allowing it to go into that worry rut anymore. Instead, in order to turn my stress into rest, I must consciously and deliberately shape my thinking according to the Word rather than according to the way I feel. I said there were two things we knew about any command of God. The first one is that it is something we can do, or it would be an invalid command. But here's the second thing we know. It's something we must choose to do. How many of you know that God will never force you to obey Him? Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, to Adam and Eve. God said, Adam, I'm putting a tree in the middle of the garden. You can have access to every other tree, but don't touch this one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is forbidden to you. And when you tell a kid not to touch something, what does he do? Amen. But guess what? Whose choice was it? Adam's choice. Eve's choice. God did not want them to touch that tree. But God would not prevent them from touching that tree. Why? God will not override that free will that he gave us to choose right or wrong, to obey or disobey him. We've got that choice. Amen? And so when God gives us a command, number one, we know we can do it. But number two, we know we've got to choose to do it. I mean, just think about when you were a kid. Okay, you think about where you are right now. Your mom says, clean up your room. Amen? Now, kids, come on, be honest with me. When your mom says, clean up your room, for how many of you is that automatic? She said, clean it. I just clean it. I don't even think about it. I just clean it. I don't see any kids' hands. Okay. When mom says, clean up your room, what? You got a choice to make, don't you? And sometimes that choice is, okay, mom, but not now. I'm watching TV. Anytime we are given a command, we got a choice. We can obey it or we cannot obey it. Even think about Jonah. God gave Jonah a command to go and preach to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go. But did God force him to go? No. God put pressure on. Amen. When they throw you overboard and you get swallowed by a big fish, that's pressure. That's stress. Amen. But God still gave Jonah the choice. Jonah, you got to decide that you're going to obey me. So number one, we know that any command God gives us, we can do. But number two, any command God gives us, we've got to choose to do. So the first thing God is telling us about handling stress, it is that it is our choice whether we get stressed out by our situation in life. You see, if we follow what he commands us to do, we will not be stressed out. Amen? In the middle of stress going on all around us, we will not be stressed. But if we choose to disobey what he commanded us to do, we have made the choice to be stressed out by the circumstances we're going through. God says that when I'm in a stressful situation, I can count it all joy. Now, my feelings do not want to count it all joy. My feelings say that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. I'm going through this and I'm supposed to be glad. If you weren't God, I'd tell you you're crazy. That's what my feelings say. That's what my feelings say. But God says it's my choice. I've given you what it will take for you to be victorious and successful over the stress that invades your life. You got to learn to count it all joy. Even though you look at it and you can't see anything joyful about it. If you want to have the victory over stress in your life, if you want to turn your stress into rest, you got to do what God says. You got to count it all joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Make up your mind right now. Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to see that God is at work in my circumstance to do me good, and I am going to count it all joy. Well, how can we do it? We're going to talk about the how in just a moment. But here's what I want you to see right now. We've been talking about our theme for our church this year, which is determined to develop. Determined to develop in our spiritual life, in our walk with God. This is one of the areas where I've got to be determined. I have got to make up my mind that I am not going to allow my feelings to control me when I am under stress. I got to be determined about that. Because the natural flow of your feelings will always pull you back down into that bondage of how you feel, of being discouraged, of being depressed, of feeling under a heavy load. That's what your feelings want to do to you. And if I'm going to have victory, I got to be determined. It's not going to happen automatically. It's not going to happen just because you're a Christian. It's not going to happen just because you love the Lord. It's not going to happen because you come on Sunday and you raise your hands and you shout and you give God the praise. Yes, do that. Hallelujah. But guess what? You can do all of that, but if you don't do what God said, you will still not have victory. And you will not have victory over the stress in your life. I've got to make up my mind. I'm not going to allow my feelings to control me. Even when my situation seems as dark as it can possibly be, as heavy a load as it can possibly be, God says, I can count it all joy if I will make up my mind that that's what's going to do. We sang the song, I've got the J-O-Y. Amen. Joy in the Holy Ghost. And I wanted us to sing that song because of one thing that it says. It says, don't let the devil steal your joy. When you are going through stress in your life, do you know what the devil's agenda is? To steal your joy. He wants you to be a joyless Christian. Amen? He wants you to go to work and everybody see that long face you got and say, well, I can have a long face without being a Christian, so why should I bother? The devil wants to steal your joy. You know what? Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you know what the devil's greatest wish for you is? That you will be miserable for the rest of your life. That's why he attacks your marriage. That's why he attacks your job. That's why he attacks anything he can attack. He wants you to be miserable because God loves you and he hates God. Don't let the devil steal your joy. I got to make up my mind. I've got to be determined. God said I can have joy in the situation I'm in. I'm going to have that joy. Well, let's talk about what it takes. Go back to James chapter 1. Our first word is count. The second word, the second verb is knowing. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let have patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Understand, what is it that will allow you to look at the circumstance that you are going through that's full of pressure and stress and to be glad? It's when you know the true nature and purpose of that circumstance. A few months ago, Priscilla had surgery. How many of you know that surgery is not a happy thing? Mm-hmm. If you've ever had surgery, you know it's not something you look forward to. She went and had the surgery, and she came out of the surgery, and I was there, and she was in pain. She was in pain. Even after we got her home, you know, it was pain for her to even move. Sometimes she couldn't even get comfortable lying in the bed. It was painful. It was stressful. Plus, you know, you kind of feel helpless. You ever feel that way? I mean, even when she was in the hospital, she was in a room with another lady. And I don't know about you, but I want my privacy. Isn't that right? I mean, I don't want doctors coming in and talking about me and, you know, lifting sheets and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I got other people in the room saying, oh yeah, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. No. All of that is uncomfortable. So why would you ever do it? Because you think about the outcome of that situation. You think about the purpose of that situation. You understand that when that doctor takes a knife and sticks it into your body, that his purpose is not to harm you, it is to help you. And so even though you know it's going to be a painful situation, an uncomfortable situation, you gladly go and do it. You may have to work at being glad, but you gladly go and do it. Why? Because you know it's for your good. Well, what James is telling us is that when we go through trials, when we go through stress, we need to know it's for our good. Look at it again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing what? That the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How many of you want to be the man or the woman God created you to be? Anybody here desire that with all your heart? Amen. Well, if you are going to be that person, perfect and complete, lacking nothing, guess what you need? You need patience. Isn't that right? And we're going to talk about that next time, what patience means. But right now, understand, you need patience. And does anybody know how you get patience? Let me tell you a secret. Anybody here ever prayed for patience?
Yes.
Amen. Well, understand, when you pray for patience, what you are praying for, whether you realize it or not, is not for God to just zap you and now you are a patient person. That's not what God does. Understand. Catch it, y'all. I want you to keep praying now. I don't want to discourage you from praying, but understand what you're praying for. When you pray for patience, you are praying for stress. Isn't that right? If you don't have any stress, what need do you have of patience? Isn't that right? So when you pray, God, make me a more patient person, make me more the person you created me to be, what you are saying is, God, you take me through whatever kind of stressful circumstances you need in order to form me into the person you created me to be. You see, God says that when he allows us to go through some stress, it is ultimately for our good. Our ability to count it all joy depends on us knowing the truth that God intends any circumstance he allows in our life only for our good. Can we look at some scripture right quick? I want to be sure that you really understand this, that you really grasp this deep down in your heart. Let's just look at some scriptures. Start with Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. And we know that everything except this situation you're in right now works together for good. What is it? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Understand, in whatever situation he allows you to go through, God has a purpose that he is working out for your good. If it wasn't for your good, he wouldn't allow you to go through that situation. That's the promise of Romans 8:28. Go over to Psalm 119, verse 71. Psalm 119, verse 71. And I just wonder when I read this verse, how many of us have ever said this and meant it? Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. How many of you have ever said that? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Look at it. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Do you see what's going on? God says, I use the affliction that I allow you to go through. I use the pressure and the stress in order to teach you something that you need to have in your life. We talked about Romans 12:2, which says that in order not to be conformed to this world and to be transformed, how? What has to happen? Our minds have to be renewed. Well, understand something. The renewing of your mind requires the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? You've got to read it. You've got to study it. You've got to meditate in it. Or else your mind will never be renewed. But catch it. Reading, studying, even meditating in the Bible will not by itself renew your mind. Do you know where your mind gets renewed? When you take what you read in this Word and apply it to the circumstances of your life. Amen? That's when your mind is renewed. And understand, the easier it is, the easier the circumstance is, the less you learn. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. The place where you are going to learn the most about what it means to walk in fellowship with God is when you are in a situation that you can't handle without God. As long as you think you can handle it yourself, as long as it's easy, you'll continue doing what you've always done. And it's only when you get to the point where you have run out of everything you've got that you will call on him and say, God, I need you. Without you, I can't make it. God says, I'll use the affliction that I'll allow you to go through to renew your mind, to teach you what you need to know. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only that, we also glory in tribulation. Any of us been there yet? How many of us have gloried in our tribulation? And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. That's that same word as the word for patience. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. When God allows us to go through stress-filled situations, He is working on our character. He will use those situations to form godly character within us. Understand it. Without pressure and stress in our lives, we would never have the character God wants us to have. It is only as we overcome in the midst of pressure and stress by applying the Word of God faithfully to our circumstance that God is able to develop character in us. We're going to talk more about that as we continue this series. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Let's take it a step further here. Look at the Apostle Paul's testimony about how this worked in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Paul says this: "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." Is that stress? That's stress. Verse 9. "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and who does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us." Do you see what Paul said? We went through such a stressful situation that we thought we were going to die. Why did God allow that? So we learned to trust in Him. We'd learn to trust in Him. God wants to develop our faith. Amen? And in order to do that, He's got to take us through some situations where we have to stand in faith, putting our trust in Him to deliver us. If God doesn't come through, we won't make it. You ever feel that way about the situation you're in now? If God does not come through for me, I won't make it. That's the place God wants us to be. He wants us to get beyond trying to work it out for ourselves, feeling like, you know, if I just keep working at this, I can work it out. How many of you have kept working at it and you've dug a deeper hole than you started with? Amen? No, God wants us to come to the point where we realize, I can't work it out for myself. I just need to trust God, obey what He tells me to do, and He will bring me through. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Here's God's promise to us. 1 Peter 5:10. God will take us through stress-filled circumstances to develop our character, to develop in us what needs to be there in order for us to be the man, the woman that He created us to be. But here's the promise He makes. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God says, I will let you go through some difficult times for a while. But my purpose is that when I bring you out on the other side, I will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what God wants to do in our lives. Here's our final scripture. You're in 1 Peter 1. You're in 1 Peter. Go to chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If you're going through something, here's the hope that you can have right now. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you see what the bottom line is? When we come through stress without being stressed out, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Amen? That's His purpose. That's His plan. God never intends for any person in this building to be stressed out. What He intends for us is to be victorious over our stress, to turn our stress into rest. And how do we do that? We got to make a choice on the way we think. We got to learn to count it all joy. There's a doctor by the name of Robert Sizer. And he wrote a book called Mortal Lessons, Notes in the Art of Surgery. In that book, he tells the story of a young husband and a wife. He had operated on the wife's face to remove a tumor. But in doing that, he cut a facial muscle, a nerve actually, so that her mouth was permanently distorted. And after the operation, she asked him, "Will my mouth always be this way?" And he had to say, "Yeah, I'm sorry. But your mouth is always going to look like that." And all she could do is just sit there. And then her husband looked at her and put a smile on his face. And you know what he said? "Well, actually, I think it's kind of cute." And then he bent over and he had to kind of twist his own lips, but he bent over and kissed her. And the doctor said, at that moment, "I felt like I was in the presence of God." Because what had he done? He chose to think about his wife's permanently distorted face, not as something horrible, because that would have caused her a lifetime of pain and regret. Shame at what people think about me. Instead, he made the choice to think about it, to think of that twisted mouth as something beautiful. And by doing that, he gave her the gift of joy. Because now, every time she thinks about her face, every time she looks at it in the mirror, instead of thinking about what everybody else is going to think about me, and, "Oh, I'm so ashamed, I wish I could hide my face," she will think about how much her husband loves her. You see, it's all the difference in the world how we choose to think about the circumstances that God allows us to go through. You want to turn your stress into rest? James says, learn to count it all joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Make up your mind right now. Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to see that God is at work in my circumstance to do me good, and I am going to count it all joy.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's C-O-V-C-O-M-M church.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.